Comprensión de textos orales. Esta prueba consta de tres tareas. Primera tarea. Escuchará la grabación dos veces. Dispone de un minuto para leer el cuestionario.
Example.
Whilst I do have a very special interest in the language of football, I think clichés in general, not necessarily just football clichés, serve a very important purpose. They're kind of like a conversational lubricant, if you like. They fill the gaps where there is nothing to be said. And for football, there are a lot of gaps. The incredible amount of coverage, it's reached saturation point on TV and radio. And there's an awful lot being said about football, but there isn't necessarily more football to be talked about. So inevitably, clichés have to fill this gap.
Extract 1.
Football clichés can be quite poetic. You often get ones that sound like they could be the subtitle to a Harry Potter book. Howls of derision, chorus of boos, the corridor of uncertainty.
Oh,
which
I
is
love the
stolen from
of
cricket,
uncertainty.
I believe. I should begrudgingly say.
Should we explain to listeners what that actually means?
The corridor of uncertainty is as perilous as it sounds. It's the area between the goal line and possibly about 8 yards out, where if the ball is delivered from the side and the goalkeeper then has a decision to make, do I stay where I am? Do I come out and try and get it? And that is why it's called the corridor of uncertainty, because a lot of goals are scored that way through goalkeepers really not being quite sure about what they should do when the ball enters that area.
Extract 2.
There isn't anything new as far as I can see. I mean, I had a look at some football commentary in the press, and I can see that one thing that's quite common is really basic nouns to do with the game will often be omitted.
Yes.
The ball,
mm-hmm.
football,
mm-hmm.
the team, that sort of thing you don't get very often. So you will find, and I'm quoting here, Ronaldo struck powerfully into the back of the net, where the word the ball simply isn't there.
Or, and would a word like struck normally, you'd normally expect there to be a he struck something rather than just struck.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, unless you're on strike, but there's different.
Quite. Yeah. Neymar fired over the bar from 18 yards. You would expect him to fire something. But, of course, footballers and footballing aficionados know full well what they're talking about, so that unnecessary bit of the language is left out.
Extract 3.
Football happily commandeers words for its own use, and to the point where, and I don't want to do football fans a disservice or their intellect a disservice, but it gets to the point where you hear words in football that these people would never use in other areas of life. I'll give you some examples. A goal can be scored with aplomb, which is a wonderful word, a beautiful sounding word, but I've never used aplomb anywhere else in my life, and I don't think I'd ever would.
Sounds like it's heavy with lead. I don't know whether it is.
It does,
doesn't
it?
Yes, aplomb, but another one?
In the transfer market, if a club tries to make an offer for a player for another club and it's deemed to be insufficient, there's often a public statement by the supposedly selling club who will describe the bid as derisory.
Ah, yes.
And it's always used. And it pops up all the time, and it's not quite passed into this kind of self-aware territory.
Extract 4.
You can have a raft of substitutions, a string of saves,
yes.
a goal glut. Yeah. And some of my favourite ones include a catalogue of errors, which is terrible for whoever's made these errors, because it implies that there's this big book listing of all the terrible things they've done on a football pitch, or the hapless things they've done on a football pitch. If you score a couple of goals, it's described as a brace, but if you want to be more colourful about it, you can call it a two-goal salvo, which I love.
Yes.
I love a salvo.
And you can have a hatful of chances, can't
hatful
you?
Hatful of chances, a flurry of yellow cards.
Extract 5.
Now let's talk about verbs. Okay, so we know when we listen to commentary, there's somebody commentating the game as it's going on. And then we have the summariser, who quite often describes what we've just seen, or on the radio, of course, what's just been talked about. And quite often, the person who's describing it, this summariser, will say, Messi passes to Rosen, and Rosen scores.
Rosen now that's, scores!
Yeah, all right, okay. a little bit of glamour I was looking for there. Anyway, so what we have there is that it's sounding almost as if it's happening now, but it didn't. It happened 30 seconds earlier. Is that odd? Is that strange, Laura?
So using a present tense usage for something that's just happened.
Literally a moment before.
Extract 6.
Dick. Yeah, if you were being very cruel, you could say that it's essentially it's detritus. It is utterly useless information that's being talked about. But once you bring it all together, you have football coverage. So clichés, as infuriating as they can often be, because clichés are by definition things that lack original thought. They don't bring anything new to the conversation. But by the same token, they're reassuring because they bring everyone into the conversation. Whether you don't know anything, a lot about football and you're listening to this or you're listening to football coverage, you'll be able to be brought into the conversation. It's quite a democratic thing.
Extract 7.
In Portuguese, they have a phrase, mal de face, which translates as lettuce hand. So if a goalkeeper happens to let a shot, you know, through his grasp, he's described as lettuce hand, which is quite cruel.
Well, we used to say butterfingers. That was poetic.
Yeah, you could construct a whole sandwich with ways of describing how a goalkeeper's failed to stop a goal.
Dispone de 45 segundos antes de volver a escuchar la grabación.
Example.
Whilst I do have a very special interest in the language of football, I think clichés in general, not necessarily just football clichés, serve a very important purpose. They're kind of like a conversational lubricant, if you like. They fill the gaps where there is nothing to be said. And for football, there are a lot of gaps. The incredible amount of coverage. It's reached saturation point on TV and radio. And there's an awful lot being said about football, but there isn't necessarily more football to be talked about. So inevitably, clichés have to fill this gap.
Extract 1.
Football clichés can be quite poetic. You often get ones that sound like they could be the subtitle to a Harry Potter book. Howls of derision, chorus of boos, the corridor of uncertainty.
Oh,
which
I
is
love the
stolen from
of
cricket,
uncertainty.
I believe. I should begrudgingly say.
Should we explain to listeners what that actually means?
The corridor of uncertainty is as perilous as it sounds. It's the area between the goal line and possibly about 8 yards out, where if the ball is delivered from the side and the goalkeeper then has a decision to make, do I stay where I am? Do I come out and try and get it? And that is why it's called the corridor of uncertainty, because a lot of goals are scored that way through goalkeepers really not being quite sure about what they should do when the ball enters that area.
Extract 2.
There isn't anything new as far as I can see. I mean, I had a look at some football commentary in the press, and I can see that one thing that's quite common is really basic nouns to do with the game will often be omitted.
Yes.
The ball,
mm-hmm.
football,
mm-hmm.
the team, that sort of thing you don't get very often. So you will find, and I'm quoting here, Ronaldo struck powerfully into the back of the net, where the word the ball simply isn't there.
Or, and would a word like struck normally, you'd normally expect there to be a he struck something rather than just struck.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, unless you're on strike, but that's different.
Quite. Yeah. Neymar fired over the bar from 18 yards. You would expect him to fire something. But, of course, footballers and footballing aficionados know full well what they're talking about, so that unnecessary bit of the language is left out.
Extract 3.
Football happily commandeers words for its own use, and to the point where, and I don't want to do football fans a disservice or their intellect a disservice, but it gets to the point where you hear words in football that these people would never use in other areas of life. I'll give you some examples. A goal can be scored with aplomb, which is a wonderful word, beautiful yes. sounding word, but I've never used aplomb anywhere else in my life, and I don't think I'd ever would.
Sounds like it's heavy with lead. I don't know whether it is.
It does,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, aplomb, but... yeah.
And
another one?
In the transfer market, if a club tries to make an offer for a player for another club and it's deemed to be insufficient, there's often a public statement by the supposedly selling club who will describe the bid as derisory.
Ah, yes.
And it's always used. And it pops up all the time, and it's not quite passed into this kind of self-aware territory.
Extract 4.
You can have a raft of substitutions, a string of saves,
yes.
a goal glut. Yeah. And some of my favourite ones include a catalogue of errors, which is terrible for whoever's made these errors, because it implies that there's this big book listing of all the terrible things they've done on a football pitch, or the hapless things they've done on a football pitch. If you score a couple of goals, it's described as a brace, but if you want to be more colourful about it, you can call it a two-goal salvo, which I love.
Oh,
yes. I love a salvo.
And you can have a hatful of chances, can't
you? Hatful of chances, a flurry of yellow cards.
Extract 5.
Now, let's talk about verbs. Okay, so we know when we listen to commentary, there's somebody commentating the game as it's going on. And then we have the summariser, who quite often describes what we've just seen, or on the radio, of course, what's just been talked about. And quite often, the person who's describing it, this summariser, will say... Messi passes to Rosen, and Rosen scores.
Rosen now that's, scores!
Yeah, all right, okay. A little bit of glamour I was looking for there. Anyway, so what we have there is that it's sounding almost as if it's happening now, but it didn't. It happened 30 seconds earlier. Is that odd? Is that strange, Laura?
So using a present tense usage for something that's just happened.
Literally a moment before.
Extract 6.
Yeah, if you were being very cruel, you could say that it's essentially it's detritus. It is utterly useless information that's being talked about. But once you bring it all together, you have football coverage. So clichés, as infuriating as they can often be, because clichés are by definition things that lack original thought. They don't bring anything new to the conversation. But by the same token, they're reassuring because they bring everyone into the conversation. Whether you don't know anything a lot about football and you're listening to this, or you're listening to football coverage, you'll be able to be brought into the conversation. It's quite a democratic thing.
Extract 7.
In Portuguese, they have a phrase, mal de face, which translates as lettuce hand. So if a goalkeeper happens to let a shot, you know, through his grasp, he's described as lettuce hand, which is quite cruel.
Well, we used to say butterfingers. That was poetic.
Yeah, you could construct a whole sandwich with ways of of describing how a goalkeeper's failed to stop a goal.
Dispone de 45 segundos para completar la tarea. Fin de la primera tarea.